First one is Daniel Fisk. He was a special assistant to the president and senior director of Western Hemisphere Affairs on National Security, deputy assistant to the Secretary of State, and now serving as vice president for policy and strategic planning for the International Republican Institute. Mr. Fisk, thanks for being with us.
Well, it's a pleasure to be on.
All right, tell me this. Is Mexico a failed state now?
Not at all. Clearly, the integrity of the Mexican state is at risk, but it is not a failed state. It is nowhere near the situation that Colombia found itself in the 1980s, actually even going up through the 1990s.
Okay. What would it take for it to become one? Is it descending like Colombia descended in the 80s?
Well, I think, first of all, in Colombia, you and your listeners need to realize that there were two aspects to the violence. One was related to crime, namely drugs. The second involved two, at the time, active insurgencies. And what happened in Colombia is eventually the insurgency, known as the Revolutionary Armed Forces of Colombia, known as the FARC by its Spanish acronym, the FARC effectively is now nothing more than a drug trafficking organization with a pretense of a political agenda. And they really did threaten the state. I mean, in the late 1990s, even more than the 1980s, there was a genuine concern in the United States and Colombia that not only was it a failed state, but that the guerrillas were on the verge of taking over that country. They were active in the capital. They threatened the national government, the sovereignty of the state. The drug cartels in Mexico are a threat. They're deadly. Their violence is horrific, but they are not threatening the national government. They do have a strong presence in 9 states in Mexico, but that's an important difference. So it's not a case where they're marching on Mexico City, similar to what the Colombian guerrillas and frankly, traffickers were trying to do in the 80s and 90s.
I got it. So let me ask you this. In terms of Mexico, as we watch the news, obviously sensationalized what's going on along the border, the gentleman being shot that was on a jet ski, allegedly, the police station that was shot up. Is that portion of Mexico, is that descending into anarchy, do you think?
Well, I think that in northern Mexico, you have a situation which it is probably fair to describe it as almost warlike. And in some cases, as you and your listeners know, it's pretty graphic and the violence is horrific, as we've just seen with the number of incidents that occurred. The good news, though, if there is good news in all this, is there is a silver lining. It is still largely about Mexican-on-Mexican violence. It's not that there is are not reports of spillover, but still, from what everything that I think a number of us have seen who watched this closely, it is largely Mexican-on-Mexican. And even more importantly, it's cartel-on-cartel. You've got the criminal organizations fighting each other for territory. Tragically, innocent people are getting caught in the crossfire.
How much does lack of border security on our part, on the U.S.'s part, contribute to the violence and the drug trafficking in Mexico?
Yeah, I don't think it's a matter of a lack of border security on our part. I think that there's been a lot done over the last 5 to 7 years to try to increase border security. In fact, if you look at it, the narcos in Mexico are well aware of that. In fact, they have not tried to provoke us more in terms of the stronger response. Yes, there's still trafficking along the border. There's drugs flowing north, and there's reports of guns and clearly money flowing south. But it is a case where they are focused on not getting the U.S. more involved in this. So it's a matter, in a lot of cases, that rule of law has been weak in Mexico. And the Mexicans acknowledge that. And to his credit, President Calderon has been candid about that, but he's also been equally candid and forceful about saying we've got to fix this. We, Mexico, have to fix this.
Our topic today is Mexico like the Colombia of the 1980s? And we're talking to Daniel Fisk. He is a vice president for policy and strategic planning for the International Republican Institute. Question for you, Mr. Fisk, is should we be doing more? And if so, what should we be doing?
Well, first, I think that people need to be assured that the United States is doing a lot. Again, recognizing that we have a unique relationship with Mexico. There are sensitivities regarding cooperation. But both countries, I think, have made a strong effort under both President Bush and under President Obama to find those areas where we can maximize what each country brings in terms of confronting this common threat. So there's a lot that's going on. Is there more that can be done? I think the simple answer is always yes. As long as there's a problem, there's more that can be done. One of the key areas in this type of struggle boils down, in a lot of cases, it is information. It is the sharing of information, make sure that those who have the information are getting that information to those who can then act upon it. So that is something that is a constant issue. Frankly, I've been assured from what I've seen that those efforts are underway to make that linkage, to make those linkages work. It is also making sure that the Mexicans, and this isn't the United States making sure, this is to the extent we can, the United States helping the Mexicans with the expertise and the wherewithal and the right equipment to make sure that they are building structures, whether they're law enforcement or judicial or penal, that can then address this issue. And by the way, this goes beyond just simply being a law enforcement problem. This is, for Mexico, a national security problem. By extension, that means it's a national security problem for the United States.
That's exactly what I want to come back to. Actually, I'd love to hear you react to Hillary Clinton's comment that Mexico is looking more and more like the Colombia of 20 years ago. Do you agree, disagree? Tell me where you are on that.
Well, I am awkward to disagree with the Secretary of State. I think, to a certain extent, she was trying to make a statement for effect. And it's a vivid statement, but my own view has been that one of the key differences between Colombia of the 1980s and Mexico of 2010 is that at the top of those respective governments, in Colombia, there was not the political will to deal with the threats to Colombia at the time. There was a lot of denial. In the case of Mexico, I think that there's political will at the top that is being matched. The rhetoric is being matched by the substance and the actions. And so in that sense, I don't think that the two are analogous. I don't think that Mexico is Colombia. And this is a case where analogies can be useful and analogies can also be misleading.
Right.
Mr. Fisk, hi, this is Steve Rodriguez. One of the things that the U.S. government did in helping Colombia during that time was a plan called Plan Colombia, which included massive U.S. military aid, massive U.S. financial aid, preferential trade agreements, institution building. If it's not as dire as those years in Colombia, today here in Mexico, could not some type of package like that help Mexico deal with these problems? Have we already provided it? What's the status there?
Well, the status is that that framework is in place. You're right, to a certain extent, Colombia had to get to such a point of fragility that it was, and a determination made that it was a failed state, that's when Plan Colombia comes into effect. Plan Colombia doesn't come into effect until 1997, 1998, 1999. So at that point, you've already had in Colombia nearly 20 years of counter-narcotics and counter-insurgency, or let me put it this way, you've had nearly 20 years of the bad guys being able to consolidate and advance their position.
Right.
In 2007, in the then George W. Bush administration, working with President Calderon and his government, the two countries came together to move forward on what's called the Merida Project. And Merida is a $1.4 billion program, $1.4 billion from the American taxpayer to provide expertise and equipment to Mexico. It is not, by the way, for your listeners' sake, it is not money. We're not giving them cash. We're giving them things and skills. But let me also tell your listeners, for every dollar that is being contributed by the U.S. government, the Mexicans are matching that to the extent of $6 to $9. So again, that was a big difference. When Plan Colombia took place, the U.S. taxpayer was largely financing the effort in Colombia. In the case of Mexico, we're contributing, but we're not the main underwriters. And again, I go back, that's why this is a really important distinction that needs to be made between the two countries. President Calderon has made the decision Mexican resources have to go to help solve a problem that's confronting Mexico. We made a decision under then-President Bush, and I'm pleased to see that President Obama has continued that commitment to say the United States has to partner. This also affects our security, but we're not responsible for completely underwriting it. We're contributing, and you all being financial, the financial experts you are will appreciate that we're leveraging our dollars to get more dollars to solving this issue. And I'll just add as a footnote, this isn't a short-term issue. These things aren't done in a matter of 6 months, 12 months, 18 months. Colombia, there is a lesson, because in a certain extent, that has been decades. I'm not wanting to suggest that it's going to be decades in Mexico. I think it's going to be much quicker, because
we're coming
also
up on a hard break here. We've been talking today to Daniel Fisk, Senior President for Policy and Strategic Planning for the International Republican Institute. Mr. Fisk, thank you so much for being with us.
My pleasure. Thank you all.
This is the Ty J. Young Show, and we will see you after the break.